Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you are listening to the 9th ever episode of Fresh From The Scene, but the first in 2020, so I guess Happy New Year is in order. Even though we're over a week into 2020, you know, things didn't happen last week, so I didn't get the opportunity to say that, but now I have. Anyway, one of my goals for 2020 is to reach 25 episodes of Fresh From The Scene, so I guess that means I'd better get interviewing people. You know, if you've got anyone who you think might be a good person to speak to on this podcast, send in a tweet at FFTScene, that's FFTScene, and make sure you tag them as well because, you know, I'm always up to interview people, but they need to know that I exist as well. You know, I can't just be like, hey, cool, so this person said that I should interview you, and they'll be like, don't even know who you are, mate, sorry. So, you know, if you tag me in it, at least that then bridges the connection. So, you know, anyone who you think would be worthwhile listening to on this podcast, let me know, let them know, then we can bring it to life. If you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, quick favour, if you scroll down on the Fresh From The Scene page, you can find the reviews section. And if you'd like to leave a nice little review of Fresh From The Scene, you know, that would be massively, massively appreciated. And if you listen to it on Spotify, make sure you follow us. Yeah, you'd be surprised how many people just listen to it week in, week out, but aren't actually following just because they just click on the link. So if you're one of those people, make sure you click so that then you can never miss an episode. In the meantime, though, if you enjoy this episode, make sure you give it a share on social media. And as I've said, tag me in it. Then I can see that you're sharing it and enjoying it. And then that lets me know the things that you are enjoying so that I can then deliver more enjoyable content to your ears in podcast form. Anyway, how about I shut up and get on with today's podcast? Right, this is episode 9 of Fresh From The Scene. Here we go.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's guest is Michaela from Oaths.
Hello.
How you doing?
You've given me an existential crisis and we need to start this intro again. No, I'm okay, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really tired. I've not been sleeping.
But same.
Yeah, completely fucked my sleeping pattern up over New Year.
Yep, that is me, my life.
Yeah, it happens. One of the things that I always get people to do when they come on this podcast is describe up their acts in their own, you know, sort of way. So,
how would I describe Oaths?
How would you describe Oaths to people who haven't actually heard of them?
To the sort of listener who's not aware of subgenres, probably just emo, but the more music connoisseur, dynamically violent post-hardcore.
Dynamically violent post-hardcore.
That's what a live reviewer said of us once.
Really?
Yeah. It was something in Preston. We played a gig in Preston, and apparently we were dynamically violent.
That sounds like, you know, like just an EP title or something.
Yeah, I don't think we're as dynamically violent these days.
I mean, that leads me on to something that I was going to ask you about, like, because obviously Oaths have gone through quite a couple of phases.
Yes.
Yeah, like, what would you say is about Oaths that makes them so sort of resilient to that? What's kept them going?
Probably just like our sheer determination just to keep going no matter what. Because like we've had loads of like setbacks and loads of things go wrong, but like it's what we want to do. So it's just we can't let that get in our way and stop us.
I saw on social media like you were supposed to be playing a full band show a couple of months ago, and then all of a sudden like you couldn't, so you did an acoustic show. Like it's just things like that, you know?
Like, yeah, like sort of with my mentality thing is like I never want to be that band that like pulls out of gigs, even if we did have a genuine reason for that gig, but at the same time like I don't want to be like cancelling on people, so it's just like we're gonna do everything no matter what. Yeah, it was scary getting up on my own doing an acoustic show, but it's what I want to do. I've got to do everything.
So, you know, who are Oaths? Obviously there's yourself.
There's me, there's my little sidekick Curtis, and at the moment there's our drummer Pete, who's in about 8 different bands.
Sounds like a drummer.
Curtis wanted to try out one of my old bands and sent in the most awful like video of himself screaming, and we were just like, yeah, no thanks. And then later on he was like, oh, by the way, I can play guitar as well. And we're like, oh, we've got a guitarist. But then a few months later when I was making a new band, I just asked him if he wanted to play guitar. And that's how Curtis got involved. And Pete was just Curtis's friend. He was Curtis's friend, and we needed a drummer, and he was just like, oh, I'll play drums for you. And that's how that happened.
And now he's just full-time member of the band. Full-time drummer. You know, anyway, I've got you on because you have a gig coming up.
I have a gig coming up.
Specifically. Viridian?
Yes, Satan's Hollow. Viridian at Satan's Hollow on the 23rd of January. That's a Thursday, I believe. Tickets are £5.50. I think they're only online as well, which is a bit annoying.
None on the door?
Oh, there's some on the door, obviously, but like, I quite like physical tickets that we would sell to people, but no one seems to do that anymore, which is...
There's something wrong with digital-only tickets, I think. Like, you know, it's a little memento, and it's like, actually, it gives you a sort of, you know, like contact point.
Yeah, and like, an incentive to attend as well, because if you've bought a physical ticket, you know, you're more likely to go than just say you're going to just like order one online and go, I think.
Yeah. You can also like directly beat it up to their face, just like, I've got tickets if you want to buy one.
Exactly.
Rather than just, oh, I'll go do it when I get home.
Yeah, I miss that. But online's the way to go, apparently. Mm-hmm.
But what can people expect, you know, from this Viridian gig?
Dynamically violent post-hardcore.
I had a feeling that was going to be an answer.
No, we've got like a full set of like mostly unheard songs, so we're like still like debuting them and like trying them out live and like sort of getting everything sort of sorted for the new era of Oaths. So you get to hear some of our new singles that we've not released yet, and be entertained by us idiots running around and being dynamically violent.
Dynamically violent. I imagine that's going to keep coming up as an answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, going back to the fact that, you know, you've had so many different lineups, like, how has that changed the way that Oath's music has been, you know, made?
Not that much, actually, because a lot of the time, like, before Oath's, it was just, like, I had written a bunch of songs, and I just wanted I needed people to sort of play these songs live. So I'd be like, here's the songs, do your own thing on the songs, and then that would be, like, that was at the first Oath's EP. And then with the second one, it was just like we had some lineup changes, but in that time I'd written more songs. So I was like, here's some more songs. Everyone can do what they want on them. And so it's just the same thing again. Lineup changes haven't really affected the music that much because the main ideas behind the songs were always me. Oh, bigging myself up. But it's not that different. Just less screamy.
Less screamy.
Yeah. More audible.
Not sponsored by Amazon.
No.
So would you say then that you are basically, in terms of the writing the songs, the creative force behind Oaths?
Yes.
Big yourself up. Do it.
I don't know. I don't like it. Like, everyone like in the band has their own, like, I like to everyone to have like their own equal input, but yeah, it's all me. 100%. I am Oaths. No, everyone's, I like let everyone do whatever they want and write their own songs. So like one of our new songs, which we're writing at the moment, is actually the original ideas from our old drummer. So it's obviously got my spin on it, so it's my song now. Not really. Still your song, Oscar, don't worry. He was our old drummer, but he's also the guy that records all our songs, so he's good. Check him out, Infinite Audio.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, you obviously did a lot of stuff with Infinite Audio in the past. Like, yeah. Is that who you're going forward with as well?
Yeah, because we get on with Oscar really well, even though he quit the band. Bastard. And yeah, and he's improved loads recently with his recording quality, and loads of bands have managed to go with him now, so it's just a relaxing environment and an easy recording session, we find.
You mentioned, like, just a lot of bands in Manchester tend to go with him. Like, going on to just Manchester music in general, who would you say is sort of, you know, like, a band doing well over there right now?
In Manchester?
That's not the 1975.
My friend's band, The Human Veil, they're a metal band. I'd say they're probably the biggest that comes to mind straight away. Parting Gift are apparently from Manchester, but I'm pretty sure they're from, like, all over the place. Like, they're, like, Facebook says they're from Manchester, but I'm pretty sure, like, some of them are from, like, Cardiff and stuff, but I don't know. Those two are the first that come to mind, anyway.
You released two songs in 2019.
Yeah.
One was new, one of them was old new.
Old new, yeah.
Old new. And you've also got stuff that you've, you know, like, filmed videos for as well, which means you have recorded stuff in 2019.
We've recorded so much stuff over the years that hasn't been released. It's really frustrating.
When are we going to see that? Are we going to see it early 2020?
Next few months. Don't have definite dates on it yet because we're waiting for a few things back. But the first single that we've got a video filmed for, we just got artwork back for it the other day. And we're really pleased with that. So my friend Laurie did that. You can find her Tattoos by Tank. She did all my tattoos as well, but she did us some great artwork. So that'll be coming out in about a month, I want to say.
Like, who would you say like are the bands that inspired Oaths?
Originally, I was listening to a lot of Death of Anna, like the original Death of Anna and Every Time I Die. But I was also listening to a lot of like hardcore punk bands like Comeback Kid. I was also quite into Napoleon at the time. So like our first EP is essentially those four bands just like mashed into one.
Just stuck in a blender. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And Oaths is the smoothie that comes out at the end.
Pretty much. I like to think we at least have something, some original take on the old genre, but it's all subjective.
There's a lot of bands in post-hardcore stuff right now that do sound pretty similar.
Yep. I keep nodding, which is really annoying.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I nod, and then I think, hang on a minute.
There's no cameras.
You can't see a nod. Yeah, I know, post-hardcore is a weird genre, I find, because like what it is like different to everyone that likes post-hardcore, as far as I can tell, because you get people that say they like post-hardcore, and what they mean is like early 90s stuff like Fugazi and things like that.
Yeah.
And then you get like me, I say I like post-hardcore, and it's like bands like Alexis on Fire and Under Oath and stuff. And then you get sort of younger people that say they like it, and it's like what I would call like metalcore bands, like Asking Alexandria and things like
that. Okay.
I don't know what post-hardcore really is.
It is a rather vague term these days. It's like post-anything, just sort of like post-neoliberalism. Neoliberalism? I can't even say it.
Nah, I give up.
Post word here. You know, it just means after that, which doesn't really mean anything at the end of the day, does it?
No.
Nah, but, you know, like, genres are really vague these days, and I feel like that's one of the things that's sort of not letting modern music down, but did you see the list of, like, Billboard's top 10 rock songs of the decade?
No,
like the
not.
Top three, I think, were Imagine Dragons of rock songs.
I don't know who Imagine Dragons are.
That's a good thing. They're not what people would consider a rock band by any stretch of the imagination. It's sort of like because genres don't really have anything to identify Imagine Dragons with.
Yeah,
they then get lumped into just being rock because they're a band with guitars or whatever.
Weird.
I feel like, you know, just post-hardcore being a label doesn't... Mm-hmm. It has that same effect like what you were saying. To everyone else, it means something different.
Yeah, so, like, that's why recently we just started saying, oh, yeah, we're just an emo band, because at least with that, people sort of get the sort of idea that, all right, so it's going to be, like, sad songs and we're going to have big fringes... And, like, people sort of know what to expect with, like, post-hardcore. It could be so many different things.
Mm.
I don't know, because we were getting, like, put on, like, loads of gigs with, like, really heavy bands, because I think people would assume we were sort of towards the more heavy side of post-hardcore when we never were, and even less so now. So we'd play gigs and we'd be, like, playing with, like, death metal bands and things like that, and it's just, like, yeah, it's just really weird. Like, have you ever heard of a band called Black Tongue? They're, like, really, really heavy, but, like, we were put on a gig with them. Like, I think it was like our third ever gig, and it was like them, a bunch of other like black metal bands, and in the middle, us. And it was just, it was a really strange gig. It was a strange week as well, because the same week we supported Hawthorne Heights, which is the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Definitely emo though.
Yeah. And it was also the same week that I nearly cut my foot off, so I was largely incapacitated for these gigs.
Okay. So from what I've heard about you on stage, that's not very you, is it?
No, not very me.
No. Just violent post-hardcore.
Yeah. Dynamically violent.
Dynamically violent, yeah. You know. Michaela, when she's not being a meme.
When I'm not being meme, Kayla.
No. How's that going?
Yeah, it's great.
Just singing, screaming songs about Brexit.
Oh, that was... I don't know, like, in work, like, some idiot always puts on Sky News in the canteen, and I always go to turn it off, and they're, like... Loads of people go, oh, don't turn the TV off, I'm watching that. Like, they're not watching it. And it really pisses me off, because they're not watching it. It's just background noise. But the background noise, to me, it's just, like, Brexit, negative news stories, horrendous Tory policies, and I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And it drives me insane. And, like, I'd had a full day of work, just, like, this garbage in my head constantly, so I needed to go home and just let it all out, and I thought, I'll just make a stupid video. Screaming down the toilet.
I mean, a lot of people enjoyed it.
I hope so.
It was like your 12 days of Christmas as well.
Yeah, which I didn't end up having time to complete properly.
Nah.
Because I wanted to do, like, a different song every day for the 12 days. I think I managed two.
Two.
Yeah.
The 2 days of Christmas.
I recorded another one, but that didn't get finished to a good enough quality, which is a shame because that was going to be my pièce de résistance.
Yeah, opus, magnus, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Magnum opus. I cannot get words right today.
That's all right. I'll get many words wrong, sometimes deliberately.
Any on stage?
Get words wrong?
Yeah.
I forget my own lyrics a surprisingly large amount of the time, which is a bit strange because I wrote them.
Do you just roll with it when that happens or, you know, make a scene of it?
I have an annoying tendency to, like, when I mess something up, my mind will just go, for fuck's sake, and my voice will just go, oh, for fuck's sake, and people will be like, what? A lot of the time, I can sort of roll with it and get away with it. I don't know. With live music, for me, it's something that listening to it is only part of it. You need to have the sort of visual and, like, sort of even physical aspects to it. So, like, you're entertaining people. They're not necessarily listening to every slight nuance that you throw out there. So I think it doesn't really get noticed that much anyway, so...
Yeah. It's like if you play, like, a semitone out of sync with the rest of the band, at least, you know, no one cares. They're just enjoying the moment, really.
Well, yeah, it's like, as long as you're being entertaining, yeah. I would guess. Because if you're all just stood there and you're all playing the song wrong, people are just going to be like, the hell is this?
Yeah, these guys are shit. Get them off stage.
Unless that's the point.
Do you reckon there are any bands out there that deliberately play wrong on purpose? Just to see if people notice?
Yeah. I do that sometimes.
Okay.
So there you go. I'm such an edgy person.
So edgy.
3 edgy, 5 me.
Yeah, so where would you like to see Oaths in the future? Like, do you see them as... Well, I imagine you hope that Oaths at least have longevity, but do you see them, you know, in 5 years' time making albums?
Yeah. Well, like, things are, like... It was, like, a rough patch of the last few years where we, like, constantly had problems, like, with, like, members and other stuff, like, booking agents and things like that. Like, now that we've got, like, a core group and a direction and songs and, like, a sort of bit of momentum behind us, like, it's starting to pick up again. Like, we've started booking gigs for the next year. We've got 3 confirmed so far. Mm. Got loads more in the works, so it's looking hopeful again. I've been writing loads of songs, so we're working on them, and, yeah, it's looking good. So my plan is just to sort of push us, like, literally as far as I can go until... I don't know, until death, I guess.
Until death. That would probably be the way that the music industry is pushing artists of, you know, like, Oaths level. Like, to just, you know, in order
what,
to
make... to die?
Yeah, to die. In order to make it, you've got to die in the first place.
How do you mean?
As in, like, you're pushing yourself so much, like, in the... Not formative years, but, like, in the years where the band, you know, will... So hopefully be, you know, like, picked up and taken to, like, new heights. Like, you've got to put so much effort in that the chances are it's just going to take a lot out of you as well.
Yeah, true. That is a rather annoying thing. Like, I've noticed with a lot of bands, like, now compared to, like 10 years ago, like, the same quality of band, but for whatever reason, they're not as big as they should be or as they would have been if it had been, like, 10 years earlier, if that makes sense.
Do you suppose that's possibly because of how much is out there now? Like, anyone really with logic and a, you know, interface at home can record music and just put it out there. So it sort of is flooding the market, so to speak.
I guess so. But then again, like, the sort of bands that I speak of here are the people that sort of do that stuff anyway. So.
All right.
Yeah, it's I don't know what it's down to, but it's just down to, like, sort of dinosaur music industry trying to still run the way it used to run and not working properly, or just kids just obsessed with, like, Fortnite and stuff like that rather than listening to music these days. I don't know.
Like, I do hear a lot of people being like, oh, I don't actually, you know, listen to music anymore. Like, just going off both of our appearances, we're both wearing band merch right now. Like, you know, music is obviously part of our lives. There are a lot of people these days I hear who, you know, like, never put music on. Like, it's always background noise or just radio. Like, do you suppose it's possibly down to that?
Quite possibly. I don't know. It's like, I've always, like, found music weird because, like, I grew up just listening to rock music and rock music alone. About 90% of all the people I encountered, like, didn't listen to anything like the music that I listen to, so quite a lot of the time I felt kind of isolated with my music taste. I don't know, it's weird. I don't know, like, how like the general masses perceive music properly.
Mm.
So like when I started my job, like my main interest was music. But like no one else that worked there, like older or younger, was really that into it. Like they would listen to a song and go, oh, that's a good song, but there was like no sort of general interest in music. So like I don't know. I think the sort of the way it's like kind of generic now as well, like a lot of people do the same sort of thing in sort of popular music.
Okay. I mean, I guess the counter argument to that is people have been saying that about pop music since pop music became a thing. You know, just four chords, identical band members.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. I'd say it's reaching new heights of that now.
Reaching new heights of mediocrity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, one of the trends that I've noticed is, like, producers create a beat, and then that beat gets sold to about 17 different artists who then make their own song over that beat.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I mean.
It's very much a trend with SoundCloud Music as well, which has somehow made it to the mainstream.
I don't understand that, because, like, everyone's like, oh, because I've been on SoundCloud for years, but
yeah.
I never realised it was a thing. And it's like all these people doing SoundCloud rap, and I'm like, I've never seen this. I'm just oblivious to a lot of things when it comes to music, unless it's like dynamically violent post-hardcore.
Just, you know, the only band you ever listen to is Oaths.
I don't know, like, when I write songs, I kind of write the songs I want to listen to.
Mm.
So, yeah, right. the only band I listen to is Oaths. Nah, that's not true.
No, Dream State being one of them.
Yeah, Dream State are cool. I like Dream State.
Yeah, me too. Like, I'm really happy with the way their album turned out.
Yeah, it was really good. Really good.
Is there anyone else who sort of influences you then as a writer?
At the moment, yeah, like recently I've been listening to a band called Counterparts who are quite like metalcore, but like I've not listened to that genre in a while, so I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool to listen to. Aside from that, I've been listening to a lot of Holding Absence and Paris. Let's listen
with
to
the V.
Yeah, so Paris.
I think everyone makes that joke.
I hope so, because I wasn't going to say Paris. I was going to go Paris and hope everyone knew what I was on about. But I don't know, a lot of my like jokes and references seem to be quite niche and just like everyone's like, what are you on about? Because I'll reference like a meme that only like five people in the world have seen.
Now you've just got me thinking about memes.
Yeah, successfully derailed this podcast.
It only took 25 minutes.
Gig with Viridian, Satan's Hollow, Thursday, 23rd of January, £5.50, tickets online. Go on the Oaths Facebook page, Oaths UK, and there's a ticket link on there. That's what you wanted to say, wasn't it?
Just for the people who've forgotten in the space of 20 minutes, what was that link again?
It was facebook.com/ Oaths UK, or Oathsuck.
Oathsuck. Oh, yeah.
It's really annoying. I can't unsee that now that I saw it the first time, and I was like, oh, damn it.
It's like one of those misheard lyric things. Once you've been made aware of it, like, you can never unhear it.
Or when you sing a lyric wrong for so long and you hear the right, what it should be, and you're like, no, it's not. That's not the words.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that happens a lot with, you know, anything that involves a little bit of screamy vocals.
Yeah. It's just that famous Bring Me the Horizon one.
What? This is Sandpit Turtle.
Oh, no, there was like an older one than that. But I think it was Really They Have No Reflections.
No, really reflections. Old.
This is the first EP, Bring Me the Horizon.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm old. I'm showing my age now. Back in 2004, when no one liked them.
No. I mean, all the people who did like them in 2004 don't like them anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I didn't like them in 2004, but they're quite all right now. So.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of them now. Like, since Sempiternal came out, like, that's when my Bring Me the Horizon phase started.
No longer a tough listen.
No. I mean, live maybe, but...
He's not a singist, though, is he? So I'd say that's...
A singist?
Yeah. He's more of a yeller, and as far as I can tell, he always had problems yelling. I don't know.
I've heard something along those lines. Or at least he just gets really fucked up at gigs and just can't actually perform the whole gig.
Maybe.
What... It's probably the craziest Oaths live story.
Craziest list. Oh. So we were playing a gig in Corby once, and we turned up at the venue, and it's an Italian bistro. Yeah, exactly. That look. And so we're just like, okay, where's the gig going to be? Because when we arrived, because we were like arrive at like 4 for like soundcheck, such a generic soundcheck arrival time. And we go in this venue, and like, I think we're playing a gig here. And they're like, yeah, yeah, it's later on. And we're just like, where's the chicken out in here? And I'm like, looking around, there's like people eating like pasta at tables and stuff. I'm just like, what the hell is going on? So like later on, the restaurant closes and they moved all the tables out the way. And it was just like raised bit of the back where the stage was. So like, okay, maybe there is going to be a gig here. Anyway, 30 seconds into our set, like our screamer at the time, he stands on one of the tables and just falls straight through it. And we're sort of all stood there thinking, he's not dead, is he?
Just 30 seconds into it.
30 seconds in, and we're just like, can we finish this set? Yeah, that was a bit bizarre. What happened? Our bass player's fallen off stage once. That was interesting.
I say once, it's
about five times.
You don't have a bass player.
Yeah, we've had one, Jack. He was good, but he's no longer in the band. But yeah. There's a video of us on YouTube somewhere where he goes to the front of the stage, stands on the monitor, and the monitor tilts forward. he just disappears off camera.
I'm gonna have to find this video.
It's amusing.
It's those kind of things that just, you know, give you something to talk about at later stages. Just like, I remember when we were like, you know, starting out, and you know, people fell off stage or nearly died at the start of gigs.
Oh yeah, we've got so many. Like, one of our first gigs was in Eastbourne, so we drove all the way to Eastbourne. It's near Southampton, so just down the road.
Yeah.
And so we get to the venue, and the promoter's like, oh, so bad news is the venue sacked the sound engineer this morning, so the sound engineer's taken the whole PA with him. So we had me and the screamer doing vocals at the time, and we had one mic between us. So that was an interesting show. Finished that show by diving through the drum kit.
That's one way to end a set.
Yeah, we were on first as well.
Oh. So it wasn't even your drum kit?
It was our drum kit.
Oh.
I was just really annoyed, and I was like, I'm putting a stop to this.
Yeah, like, there's only one way to stop that, and that's break a drum kit.
The rest of the gig was quite successful though, as far as I remember.
Yeah. So will the drum kit survive at Viridian?
Yeah, because it won't be our drum kit.
That's so good.
Sadly. So sadly, it'll make it through.
Sadly.
I've never actually broken anything live, which is a bit incredible, considering the amount of dynamically violent antics that occur.
Anything come close to breaking?
My mind a few times.
That's not as rock and roll as, you know.
No.
You know, people smashing guitars with, like, over shoulder swings.
So, like, we throw our guitars around a lot. Like, I think people think we don't care about them. Like, I care about my guitars.
Mm.
But, like, I know what damage they can take. So, like, when I throw them, like, I know if it's going to break or not. And if it did break, I'd probably be pretty annoyed. But a lot of them are quite well made and can take being thrown at stuff.
Yeah. It's so almost like that, oh, Oaths are buying this guitar. Maybe we should reinforce it a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a signature model for Oaths.
I'd like a signature guitar. Yeah, I'd like my own ESP, if you're listening, ESP.
Yeah, I mean, as it happens, I've got them on speed dial.
Oh, yes.
I'd be like, make sure you listen to this episode of Fresh from the Scene.
Please. And please delete that cringy email I sent you in 2012 asking for an endorsement deal.
Did you really?
Yeah, because like our drummer got like offered an endorsement deal with
Zildjian.
It wasn't Zildjian, but it was like some random cymbal company. So like all of us were just like, if he got a deal, maybe the rest of us can get some. I don't know. I just thought it was worth a shot, but
yeah,
never heard anything back.
Definitely save money, you know. Like you see a lot of like Plectrum stuff going on, because you know how many Plectrums do you lose in like a week?
Oh, so, like, I found the black hole in my room. So, like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was really weird because, like, I was tidying my room the other day and I was like, oh, there's a Plectrum. There's another Plectrum. And by the end of, like, when I'd finished tidying up, I had, like, a mass collection of, like, all the Plectrums I'd lost over the last 10 years. And I was just like, this is really weird.
I mean, I wish I could find my black hole.
I'm pretty sure I didn't lose some of these Plectrums in this room, but here they are now.
Here they are now. I remember I once lost a Plectrum the day I bought it.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah. And like, you know, it was back in the time when I had no disposable income. That was the only Plectrum I owned.
It's double heartbreaking.
Yeah. It's, you know, end of my guitarist dreams. That's why I'm not in a band.
No plectrums.
No plectrums.
No plectrums.
I mean, you know, I wasn't any good at classical guitar. I can't use my fingers.
To be honest, though, bass players usually show up with no plectrums either and then ask to borrow one.
Just asking the headliners, have you got any spare plectrums?
Oh, I've got those stories as well. One time I was supporting Deaf Havana and our drummer at the time, he just walks up to their drummer and says, oh, can I borrow your cymbals? And the drummer's like, not really. And he goes, oh, fair enough. Can I borrow some drumsticks?
Wow.
I couldn't believe he just said this. And I was just like, you bring shame on us all with your inane questions.
I mean, at least he led with cymbals, you know, like it set the bar at a more accurate bit.
I just can't believe he asked to borrow cymbals and drumsticks. Because then our question was, where are your cymbals and your drumsticks? Because he brought his snare and his bass drum pedal, so I don't know why he didn't bring the rest of his stuff.
Yeah, he just forgot, you know, the bits that ring out.
Ah, bands.
Bands. What are they going to do? Got lots of stories. Tell me them.
Oh, uplifting and motivational ones. I don't really care. They're not fun. They're not interesting, though, are they? It's just
just the embarrassing ones.
It's like, it's like
amusing.
Uplifting ones, like every time I've played Bristol, it's been absolutely insane for some reason.
Shout out to Bristol.
Brizzle. Out there doing bits. Just crazy crowds, pits and surfing in tiny rooms. Every gig there has been a treat, a delight. One of the Bristol gigs, my jeans ripped down the side during the gig and I was like, oh, that's a bit weird. So I just ripped them off.
Your whole jeans?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And everyone was like looking at me like, yeah, that's a bit weird.
Just a little
bit. Why have you done that? And I was like, I really don't know.
Was it not even much of a big rip, or was it just like, you know, something where you...
So that they were ripped jeans anyway.
Yeah.
But like on the knee part, it ripped down the side of my leg. And I was like, oh, I think I saw someone point at it, like at the front. And I was like, what, this? And I just tore them straight off.
Didn't realise they'd gone to that sort of gig.
No, I don't know, like, my mind gets a bit lost in the moment when I play live and I just sort of do all sorts of just mad stuff without thinking about it.
Hmm.
We did a gig in Satan's Hollow once and because, like, the stage there is sort of in the middle of the room. It's like
yeah,
a weird
I've heard
sort
that.
Of... So I was like, I'm going to start a circle pit, but around the stage. So because I had a wireless guitar, I started just running around the stage in a circle. And I was like, I think I was a little bit drunk as well. So I was like, is anyone following me? I don't think anyone's following me. I just look like an idiot running around the stage. So I was like, oh, I stopped and went to get back on the stage. And then all the people following me just plowed straight into the back of me and sending me flying.
Wow. That's amazing.
There is footage from that gig, but I don't know if that moment's captured. There's a bit in one of the songs that I've posted on the internet where I don't know what I'm doing, but like I do this weird strut across the stage
Okay. And
then spin my guitar around my head, and it just looks bizarre, but I find it amusing. But yeah, nearly knocking myself out, that was I guess that's an embarrassing moment.
That is an embarrassing moment. Well done, you found one. From performing to actually being at gigs, like what do you like think makes a good gig when you're actually, you know, just being at one?
I don't know. I like seeing, like, mental stuff happening.
Mm.
It's like, sometimes, like, when things go wrong at gigs and, like, the band sort of react to it in a positive way and do something, like, I don't know, like, a bit mental or a bit sort of out there. I like seeing that sort of unpredictability of things. Like, have you ever seen Dillinger Escape Plan? Any videos of them live?
I've not seen anything by them.
They're just, like, pure chaos, but that's great. Other things I like at gigs is, like, sort of, like, really impressive bands that can do, like, three-part harmonies but still, like, run about and sort of be entertaining.
Yeah.
I love seeing that. Sort of Chapter and Verse, for an example.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd say they set the bar quite high for gigs.
Mm. When he's not wearing just really shiny shoes.
Were you spending that entire gig just shining at his shoes?
Staring at his shiny shoes? Yeah, I really was. You know, those were some very, very shiny shoes worn by Josh Carter.
Yeah, I think that's deliberate as well.
Because
they think of everything when they're putting together, like, their stuff. So, like, every tiny detail will be, like, properly thought out. with them.
That was a good gig, that Presto Mico gig with them supporting.
Yeah, that was a great gig.
Yeah.
I travelled all the way here to it.
Exactly.
That's how good it was.
Parish needs to put on more gigs like that.
Did the Parish put on a lot of gigs still?
Yeah.
Because I played there a few years ago, but I don't really see much from them.
They have a lot of gigs.
Okay, I'm just obviously in the wrong place to find out about Parish gigs.
I mean, if Oaths were to play Parish, I imagine, you know, people would turn up.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were people there last time.
Yeah.
It was like 5 years ago. It was like our fourth gig ever.
Exactly. It's your return to Huddersfield.
After 5 years.
What's that? You know, half a decade? That's long enough for it to be an anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So the Viridian gig, I hope it goes really well. I hope people turn up because people will turn up.
Yeah, they will. Viridian are really good.
Mm.
They should turn up.
Was there anything else you would like to plug whilst you're on here?
Anything else I'd like to
Anybody plug? Else? Anything? Anywhere?
I think I've got all the plug-in.
All the plug-ins plugged.
Yeah, because there's the gig, 23rd of January, Viridian, Satan's Hollow, £5.50.